This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Christian Crusaders extends a heartfelt welcome to each of our listeners. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us.
Do you ever get angry? How do you deal with your anger? We're going to talk about that today in the sermon. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we know that there is such a thing as a righteous anger. You displayed that in your ministry. But we realize also that often our anger is not righteous, but that it comes from within and perhaps is based on jealousy or selfishness. So, Lord, speak to us in your holy word today and grant that we may have a better understanding of how you can help us deal with that anger. For we know that it is not pleasing in your sight that we who call ourselves your children should run around as angry people, those who do not really care about what their words or their actions do to others. Speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the fourth chapter of Genesis, beginning with verse 1. Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it." Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" "I don't know," he replied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" And the Lord said, "What have you done? Listen. Your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops, for you will be a restless wanderer on the earth." Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ, it did not take long after the creation of the human being for anger to make its ugly appearance. And we have had anger in this world ever since. You recall the story of Cain and Abel from days in Sunday school? It tells a powerful message. It tells us how jealousy can develop into anger. And anger can develop into some terrible, terrible acts, even murder itself. You recall that Cain and Abel were the sons of Adam and Eve. And Cain tilled the ground and Abel raised flocks. And when the day came that they should bring their offerings to Almighty God, God accepted Abel's offering but rejected Cain's, and Cain got angry. God began to talk with him a little bit about it and told him that that had to be straightened out or things would be bad. Well, evidently Cain did some thinking, not along God's lines. And here you see the sinful nature of the human being. He makes a plan. I'll get rid of that fellow. And so he said to him one day, "Let's go to the upper field." And when he got his brother to the upper field, the Bible tells us that he killed Abel. Then God comes to him and says, "Where is Abel?" And he says, "Well, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And the results were that God had to deal with him and said to him, "Because you have killed your brother, cold-blooded murder, you will be punished." And from that day on, we open our newspapers and we read these same terrible stories. Parents killing children, children killing parents, or reaching out to other people. Cold-blooded murder. Until we are finally saying in some of our states, maybe, if we don't already have it, that we should put back death penalty. That's where we are. Well, anger is a very difficult subject, and so educators have decided we have to do something about it. And much good has come from what they have written and what they have observed. One of the great specialists on anger is a psychologist, Dr. Jerry Deffenbacher. Dr. Deffenbacher says that anger is an emotional state that varies in intensity. It can be anything from a mild irritation to intense furor and rage. It can express itself in different ways. And generally, the person who is most often angry is that individual who has low toleration to frustration. And so we see this anger in some terrible ways. For example, let's draw a picture. Here is a mother or a father who are tired. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. They've been up all night with the child. The child simply will not sleep. So finally, the father pulls the child out of the basket and begins to shake it. It's an emotion. It's anger. And he is acting it out. The results are that he kills the child. So, our society has said, let's do something about it. Now, anger sometimes can take on physical harm to people. It can also take on some other types of harm. I recall a case where a lady had fallen in love with her boss, but the boss had no interest in her. And so finally one day she got so frustrated she had coffee with the boss's wife and said, "Do you know that your husband is having an affair with another woman?" Nothing could have been farther from the truth, but that marriage almost was broken up because of anger that revealed itself in a lying tongue. It can do verbal harm. But perhaps, and I pray to God that that is not our primary problem today, I wonder if ours isn't more of getting into having an angry spirit. You know, we can get angry about this, and we can get angry about that. And pretty soon it affects our personality until sometimes people say, "He is a very angry individual." And that does harm. It does harm to our friendships. It does harm in our work. It does harm at home. Angry people. So I'm thankful for what our counselors have helped us with as far as the management of anger is concerned. Dr. Deffenbacher has said this: anger is completely normal, but when it gets out of control, it is destructive. Now, this is interesting that he says it's normal, because here it seems to me that he is giving recognition to the human nature of an individual. We are not basically good people. We are people born with a sinful spirit. And a part of that sinful nature is that it reveals itself and in ways that are contrary to God's, and part of that is anger. So what do we do with it? Well, we must do something about it. And so we turn sometimes to our counselors and ask them to give us some help. Here are two good parents, and they have a nice family, but there's one of the children who seems to be more angry than the others. And so they're going to get him some help. It is interesting to see how secular counseling deals with it. And now I'm not criticizing it, not at all. For example, in listing some of the things as to how to control anger, they suggest when you see it coming or feel it coming on, you walk away from the situation that you find yourself in. You take a deep breath, and also while you're taking the deep breath, you say some word like, "Relax, relax, relax." And it will help you if your anger is not too severe to get over exploding at that particular time. Another situation, they said, here's a working mother. When she comes home, she's worked hard all day long, and she's now got to do the family chores. So they have decided in that home that no one will talk to mother for 15 minutes after she comes home from work. And that seems to help a great deal. There's a lot of counseling that goes on the golf course. There are some people who take the game very seriously, and they are known to throw clubs and use profanity and just be kind of miserable people to play with. Until finally somebody in the foursome says, you know, why don't you calm down? Why don't you stop your angry outbursts? You're not as good as you think you are. Why are you so serious? This is only a game. Now, these little bits of advice can help here and there. And I'm sure that secular counseling goes into the depths of this. And I don't want to be unfair to that art today. But what I want to say is that when I read of some of the ways that we try to control anger, one thing is really missing. And without that one thing, I question if we can have much success. And that is the teachings of the Word of God. And we begin with our Savior. Now, the first thing that our Savior says is that there are such things as justifiable anger. It doesn't mean that we're going to go through life and never be angry. I think there again, Deffenbacher says that it is completely normal, and it is normal for a Christian. If I know that something is really contrary to the will of God, and I see it being done in society, in government, in the church, wherever it is, there is anger there. And that's as it should be if you're dealing with some absolutes at all. You see that with our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the last week that he was on this earth? He went into the temple. And what is it that Matthew writes in the 21st chapter? Let me read it to you. Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the temples of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer. But you are making it a den of robbers. And so he threw them out of the temple. There was anger, and it revealed itself in action. And that's what you call righteous anger. And that's what we need today. St. Paul goes on to say, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. What is he saying? Sure, you may get angry. Maybe righteous or unrighteous. The point is, don't let it linger within your soul and mind so that you can become an angry spirit. Pretty good advice. Don't let that anger take up residence in your life. James writes, be slow to anger. What does he say there? Before you talk, before you let it all come out, think it through. Walk away if necessary. Certainly, we know that if we're going to deal with anger at all, we've got to be in a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. We have to have met him as our Savior who died on the cross for our sins, and we must have received him into our lives, and he lives there as the living Lord. So when I see that this is my problem, that I get angry easily and it's getting out of hand, where is the place to go? Into the presence of Jesus. And what do you do when you stand in the presence of Jesus? You say, Lord Jesus, I'm yours. You have redeemed me, and you have promised to make me a brand new person. O Savior, take away this anger. Help me to love that person where there is anger. Help me not to be that wretched individual whom even people come to shy away from. Then we live in the Word. And in that Word, we build that personal relationship. As we've been going through these destructive emotions from time to time, now the last few weeks, we always come back to the same place. If I am going to get over my boredom, and if I'm going to get over my anger, I need to walk in a very personal, intimate way with Jesus. How do I do it? By taking the New Testament and reading it, by going through the Psalms and meditating upon it, by sitting quietly alone and say, "Come, Lord Jesus, I really need some help. And you alone can help me." A few weeks ago, when we were studying the Beatitudes, we came to that one called Blessed Are the Meek. And William Barclay writes regarding this, "A meek person is one who can get angry when it is necessary, but has his anger on the leash, and it is only to be released when the time is right." Do you have trouble with anger? Well, don't say that it is all wrong. That is not necessarily the case. Your anger may be very justified in some cases. When I see some of the sinfulness that is found in our society, isn't it time to be angry? When we begin to condone that which God's Word does not permit and which will destroy our culture, isn't it time to get angry? That's why I like what Barclay says. We can unleash the anger when we need it the most. There are times when I think I should get angry at myself because I am so wrong. That's righteous anger when you get even angry at yourself. But then there is this time when we must control that anger. And I thank God for the secular counselor, but I thank God that I've got a Savior that goes into the depth of my soul and offers me help when he says, "Come, and I will direct you and lead you." Anger can be controlled in the presence of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Open my eyes that I may see, glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands a wonderful key that shall unclasp and set. Silently now I wait. my God, thy will to see. Open my ears, illumine me.
Let us pray. Lamb of God, most holy, enter into our hearts. For as that Lamb from God who took away the sins of the world, come and purge us of our transgressions. Grant, O God, that you might create within us a clean heart and renew our spirits, that we can know when it is right as your child to reach out sometimes in anger and express our strong feelings. But grant, O God, that those angry moments, angry over this and that, that can raise turmoil in our homes, at our places of labor, in our social relationships, that they might be taken away. Help us to understand that we can sit quietly with you and talk about this. And then we can turn to that blessed word and receive direction. Come, Lord Jesus, and help us to overcome our anger. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. As we prepare to offer our thanksgiving to God in this coming week, we pray you have been strengthened in your faith walk by today's program, and you will experience safe travel as you travel to be with friends and loved ones. As a nonprofit ministry, Christian Crusaders is dependent upon the free will gifts of our listening family. A memorial gift is a meaningful way to remember a loved one. Memorial gifts are sometimes given to remember a very special person on his or her birthday or some other occasion. For your convenience, we are now able to take credit card donations by phone or mail. We thank each of our listeners who have remembered Christian Crusaders with their gifts and their prayers. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's program are available free of charge. However, a small gift will cover production and mailing costs. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, you may call 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders is now in its 70th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.